everybody. I'm Dr. Deb, and welcome to another episode of PTSD and Beyond. Welcome to the PTSD and Beyond podcast, where we give you insights into post-traumatic stress, trauma recovery, healing, and beyond. I'm Dr. Deb Lind, and in each episode, I have a conversation with a guest who will stimulate your mind, touch your heart, and connect with your spirit, and also give you a greater understanding of yourself and others on this healing and recovery journey walked by so many of us before, wounded healers with lived experience and heroes. Hopefully, we'll also provide a glimpse into possibilities and purpose, hope, and inspiration. Thanks for listening and enjoy the podcast. One last thing, guys, before we dive into today's episode, if you'd like an ad-free experience and like early access to new episodes and special events, I want to let you know you can join us at patreon.com. That is patreon.com/PTSD and beyond. All right, let's do it. Hey, everybody, it's Dr. Deb here with PTSD and Beyond, doing an episode called Grab the Mic. Why we do Grab the Mic is because we'll see a topic that is on social media or that comes across our email, and we think, hey, you know what? We got to grab the mic and let's have a conversation about this. Today's topic on Grab the Mic is when leaders say, I have an open door policy. So our topic today is about open door policy. What does that mean? What do leaders mean by it? What is some of the information out there on the internet that says what it's supposed to mean? And how do people feel about when their leader says, I have an open door policy, and are people actually using it? So let's start from the beginning. When a leader says, I have an open door policy, leaders, it's really wonderful that you say that you have an open door policy. What needs to happen next is to communicate what that actually means, because employees might have a different meaning about what an open door policy means. That's the first thing. Communicate what an open door policy means. Now, Forbes magazine says, they did a little article here, and Forbes magazine says there's an open door policy means four things. One is that managers and leaders are accessible. Two, that there's a flow of open communication. Three, that it's fast access to information and feedback. Four, is that it open door policies build closer working relationships. That's what Forbes magazine has to say, what an open door policy means. So leaders, when you're saying to people and employees, I have an open door policy, then take the next few minutes and explain what that means for people. That's the first thing. Communicate to everybody your meaning as a leader of what an open door policy is. The second thing is, ask your employees, what does open door policy mean to you? You'll be surprised the feedback that you'll get about an open door policy. People will share their thoughts. And maybe it needs to be a survey, because maybe there's some people who will feel very vulnerable to say what they believe an open door policy means. That's the second thing. So the first thing is to communicate what the leader's intention and meaning is of an open door policy. The second thing is to ask employees what their meaning of an open door policy, as well as what the value of an open door policy is. So a valuable open door policy that you would utilize looks like, and then let them talk, get the feedback. That's the second thing. The third thing is, do people actually walk through the door? So if a leader has an open door policy, what good is the policy if it's not being utilized? And if it's not being utilized, why not? Has anybody walked through the door? Has anybody actually come forward and utilized having access to leaders to be able to talk with them about whatever key issue is and discuss what is on their mind? Now, there's also a subset to that question. Anybody that walks through the door, is there any repercussion and backlash for walking through that door? What is the confidentiality? How is the psychological safety and safe space created? And then I want to challenge leaders to take all this information and link it directly back to the first question, which is, when you say, I have an open door policy, how are leaders ensuring that all of those other variables like psychological safety, safe space, confidentiality, the making sure that the person understands and is appreciated. I appreciate you coming forward to, you know, and sharing this information and how vulnerable that must be. And I want to recognize it and to make sure that that person feels good and feels okay and maybe even feels better before they leave the open door. Because have organizations asked employees if they felt worse after leaving that open door? Another thing I'd like to bring up to leaders is if people are not coming to the door, then bring the door to the people. And what does that look like? That means leaders are on the floor and they're just stopping by and saying, hey, they're checking in and saying, and reiterating that same message of, you know, I'm coming to you and I also want you to be able to come to me. How are leaders doing that? So when you have an open door policy, leaders, if you're communicating that to your employees, here are some things that you can actually evaluate. Now, there's one other thing that I want to mention. This is, I would say, the bonus part of the Drop the Mic episode on open door policy. I recently heard someone say, we were talking about trauma-informed and trauma-sensitive communication. This person's in human resources and said, when someone comes to me, I ask them this question, do you need to be heard or do you need resources? Well, there's a better way and a more mindfully trauma-informed way of neutrally creating a safe space for someone who's walking through the door. We can redesign a question. And that question is, what can be helpful right now? Support or solutions? And why that question is neutral is because the person will share with you what they need. You're not making the decision for them. So the person in HR who asked the question, do you need resources or to be heard? You're making the decision for that person. You're making that decision for them. And maybe they don't need those two things. Maybe they don't need a resource and maybe they don't need to be heard. It's about them. It is about the person that is so vulnerable, that is brave to come and ask for help. How we ask that question is right now, what can be helpful? Support or solutions? And then if they say support, say, okay, what does support look like? And maybe they'll just say, I just want to talk. And then you be present and listen. Maybe they say, I want to fill something out instead. I don't feel comfortable. Whatever they say support looks like, that's what support is. And maybe they might even say, I don't really know. And then you can say, well, how about if I sit and be present with you right now? Then it means you're not on the phone. You're not looking at your computer. You're not checking emails. You are fully present and engaged with that person. And they drive what those few minutes look like. They drive what that time looks like. If they say solutions, then say, okay, let's talk about and let me listen to some of the things that you've already thought of. Because if someone asks for solutions, typically what happens is they're so frustrated because they can't find any solution and they've exhausted some things. Or maybe they're in the freeze state and they literally can't see stuff. By active listening to what they're saying, we can put together some pieces and shape a puzzle and say, okay, from what I'm hearing, not from what you're saying, okay? Notice that we're eliminating the you language. We're eliminating you language because you language can be attacking to somebody, especially from a trauma background. What I'm hearing, let me see if I understand this correctly. I want to make sure I get it right. This is what I'm hearing. And then summarize what your understanding is and then say, Do I understand that correctly? I just want to make sure I'm getting that right. I want to make sure I'm hearing correctly. And the person's going to let you know. You'll be able to tell by their body language. By also, one of the things about body language is you might even see them, their shoulders relax, and they might even let out a really big sigh. They might move from having a glare in their eyes, like a staring glare in their eyes, to looking like they're alert. You can see when a person is being redirected. And remember, it's not what we say. It's about how we make people feel. It's about how we make people feel. What can be helpful right now? What can be helpful right now? If you can't remember the last part of it, support or solutions, you can just ask in general, what can be helpful right now? It's really simple. So there's your bonus pieces of the episode of, you know, drop the mic and open door policy. If no one's walking through your door, bring the door to your people. All right, you guys, this is Dr. Deb with PTSD and Beyond. I hope you found today's episode valuable, interesting, and maybe even reflective. There might be some contemplation here, as well as, you know, looking at things and saying, well, I think I'm going to try this, or maybe not, or I'm going to adjust and tweak, because after all, we're better together, we're stronger together, and as always, take what resonates and go beyond.